Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie.
How are you today, Annalie?
I'm really good, Mary Phyllis. How are you doing?
Good. And our talk today is on angels.
Yes.
It's a good segue from energy, I feel, but we can get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, let's do that. But actually, angels, you know, we don't see them. No. So that's why it connects so well with energies.
Yes.
Because they're somehow energetical beings.
Yes.
Right? But let's start in another end.
Okay. Well, my first encounter about angels, I heard somebody talking in a workshop that I was passing. And she was talking about angels, and I thought, oh, that's just a Bible thing, or that's just a Torah thing, or, you know, it's just on paper. It doesn't make any sense.
Old tradition.
Life. Yeah.
Old ideas.
Yeah, and it's only later that I started to recognize there was more. But I would love to hear your story. You told me a little bit about your story.
Right, yes. Because I have this common notion about angels from childhood that they are, when you're born, you have your sort of birth angel or helper that helps you through life and saves you from, you know, when you trip and fall and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I had never really encountered angels, or I don't even think I thought they were real.
Right.
So, well, this is many, many years ago now, but I went to an angel seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this American lady, and who was holding this seminar. She was actually Native American, and she mostly worked with talking about angels. And she was gonna do a meditation for us, and we were like maybe 20 people listening. So it was like a 2 or 3 hour seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was going to invite angels to this seminar so that we would be able to meet them. So that was a sort of a wow feeling. But I was still kind of skeptical, you know.
Yeah.
But it's always like that. You're skeptical but still open and intrigued.
Yeah.
Talked about beforehand that angels can be perceived in different ways. For example, you could feel like a nice, warm feeling around you.
Yes.
Or you could, maybe some people see actually some type of light or sense a light being somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke about sound, that you can actually hear angels through our senses, through our different senses, we could sort of perceive an angel. So then she took us into the meditation again. And while we were sitting there with our eyes closed, she said finally that now I won't speak and we will just sort of meditate in our own pace for like, was it 15 or 20 minutes? And suddenly I heard little bells, you know, these little cute bells, like you have on Christmas, ding, 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 like that.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, don't tell me she's having little bells like that, you know, and I was like, okay. And I looked up and she was doing something completely different. I don't know where that came from. So I still, you know, was very skeptical, as you can hear.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, we were finished after the seminar. I told my friend who was also there, I said, you know, did she bring up little bells? Because I heard these bells so clearly. And she said, no, I didn't hear any bells. What do you mean? Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was just like shocked.
Yes.
Because I heard them so clearly. I realized that was actually a real angel.
Yeah. And she said you could hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hadn't expected it at all. I was expecting maybe to feel a nice sense of calmness and sort of joy or maybe something like that, but I was not expecting something so real.
Mm-hmm.
So from that time on, I'm totally convinced that angels are existing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not sure about what they really are. How did you realize angels really came into your life or you started?
I think I really, really had contact once I started on the shamanic path.
Okay.
And learned shamanic journey. In other words, getting in touch with your true spirit guides. And I had one particular journey, and we call it a journey because you feel like you're going somewhere inwardly. You're
just
always in motion. And I was meeting a new spirit guide, and he showed me that some of my guides that had showed up as animals all of a sudden were human. One was like a Native American fancy dancer with all kinds of feathers, and he was doing those complicated movements that fancy dancers do.
Right.
And then there was another one that showed up as an animal, and this time she showed up in female, a human form from the neck down, but still with the animal head.
Wow.
And this particular one, he showed up originally as an animal form and then gave me a teaching, but when he got to the place of teaching, all of a sudden I saw a human head with a feather off each side at the top and feather off each shoulders.
Holy
and I
wings.
Knew it was an angel. And when I wrote it down later, I realized that's a metaphor for Mercury, mythical god of Mercury with the little wings.
Oh, right.
And then when we came back from that place, he said, now watch my eyes. And it was still in human form. Watch my eyes. I watched his eyes, and all of a sudden, it's like everything spaced out, like I'd gone unconscious. And then I came back again, and there he was as the animal form again, but I still saw the angels. And I realized later that my spacing out was the energy I was feeling where he was shift.
Oh, and shape-shifting.
Uh-huh. And he said, he told me that most of our spirit guides are of the angelic kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I say most because some people have spirit guides from somebody who has died and mm-hmm. had legitimate spiritual reasons to come back. I mean,
right.
The sanction for that. But that they shape-shift into any form that will best help us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that where we can actually sort of connect to them.
Yes.
Or understand them, or yes. Feel at ease.
Yes, and yeah. Those who see them as animals, just think of what you think of an eagle might be.
Yeah.
A lion might mm-hmm. be. A turtle might be.
Yeah.
And each of those gives a different sense, a deer.
Right.
Each of them gives a different psychological aspect.
Right.
So you would, if you had to forget spiritual information, be more like a bird.
Right.
You wouldn't be a turtle.
Well, probably not.
If you needed to know how to do patience, you're going to get a turtle, not an eagle.
Right.
But they're of the angelic kingdom. And he did
right.
say that the angel's true form is pure light.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll shape-shift into what we can see or just a sense of presence around us or a voice, like with,
right, with the hearing.
Yeah, the hearing. But that they're here to help us. That's my sense of it. We all have them. And I was told at one point that we would not live past infancy if we didn't have angels around us.
Wow.
That sounds
harsh. Oh, goodness.
It's a harsh planet to live on.
Yeah. But this is so mind-blowing, what you're telling, Marcus.
Yeah?
Mind-bending. Yeah, you know, with how you saw your angel
yeah.
doing all these sort of tricks. I don't want to say tricks, but in a way, he was showing you everything he can do.
Yes.
For thee, right?
Yes.
So you would understand it could be this or that shape-shifting. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Why would they shape-shift? Like you said, that how, depending on how we perceive them.
Yes.
How is it possible? Because this was all happening in your mind, right?
Yes. And it's a lot of metaphor.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of metaphor.
Right. So angels speak yeah. through metaphor.
Yeah.
In
and
a way
it's
like
energy.
Right. Something you said made me think that they connect them to our emotions, as we spoke of in the energy episode,
yeah.
that we have the feelings are more sort of lighter matter or lighter
mm-hmm.
density.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst emotions are more connected to our bodily person.
Yeah.
And then angels would sort of try to connect through our emotions, right?
And my sense of it, there are two that help me with physical energy,
mm-hmm.
physical healing, and they very rarely say anything into my mind. It's always just doing healing work or just giving me energy.
Right.
And I've been told over and over, both the angels that I work with and the archangels that I work with on healing work,
mm-hmm.
that humanity's free will is their number one
asset.
Concern.
Yeah.
If we don't want to even do 2 minutes of healing, they will just stand back and just wait for us to decide. Okay.
If we want to do it or not.
Yes. Now, free will is paramount.
Yeah.
Now, they will tell me if I ask how to do such and such, they will tell
me. Right. But then you're asking.
Yes. And I'm honoring, I'm giving up my free will because I want to listen and I want to gain more.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have others that don't seem to interact with my emotions at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my spirit teachers. They will speak through words in my mind telepathically. They will show me metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I have a false idea of what they are, all of a sudden I can't see their face.
Right.
The cloud over the face. And I realize, okay, I need to tap into what you're talking about. So they seem to be working in different ways. And then there's some that show up if I'm working on counseling. All of a sudden I'll see the face of one of them. Oh, okay. I need to pay attention to what you want me to say.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Or I can ask for that one to show up. But it's all what the French call clairvoyance.
Okay.
Clear seeing or clear sensing. I'm sensing it clearly, or clairaudient. I'm hearing it clearly.
Right.
But it's all within the mind.
Yeah.
And I've noticed people saying, well, an angel appeared to me at a certain time in my life. And I will say to them, did anybody else see it when you did? And they'll think that, no. I said, then you're seeing it clairvoyantly.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Yeah.
That's a real part of us. Our thoughts and our feelings are real.
Right. So the ones, the time when I heard this angel was also clairvoyance because nobody else heard it.
Right.
Hmm. Wow, Mary Phyllis. You really work with angels like every day, right?
Yeah.
You really know them. So what I was thinking about is, in general, you know, in society when we speak about angels in general, people usually say, well, when somebody, you know, is in a car accident or something like that, that they had, you know, they made it because that must have been an angel intervention.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So angels really are in people's mindset, but we're not always really open to that they actually are there.
Yeah.
Because if we were, of course we would be interested in, you know, communicating with them more.
Yes.
Like you're doing in your work.
Yes. I had a friend, you were talking about accident. I had a friend whose house was burning down.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going down the steps, and all of a sudden she heard a male voice behind her say, get moving.
Oh.
And she went, and she realized, and she went out the door. She got out the door just in time before the flames came down the stairs. And she looked around. There was no one there. And I said, Marty, that was an angel.
Right.
And she said, it was loud, as if another person was behind me.
Yeah.
But it was not her time to go.
Yeah. Also, sometimes you hear people really, maybe people who are trying to commit suicide, that somebody suddenly comes up to them and speaks to them and sort of changes their mind. You know, these stories go around.
Yes.
I don't know anybody who did this or encountered an angel this way, but this is sort of part of everybody's thinking about angels, that they really can come in human form also.
Yeah. And I think when it's that dramatic, it's because the situation is that dramatic and it's just not their time to make a transition to spirit.
Right.
To die.
So they will actually, like you said before, shapeshift.
Yes.
And come in human form. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Or at least some part of them, like the sound.
Right. Like with your friend, exactly.
Yeah. And I think the sound of your bells in your ear, was that just that dramatically woke you up to
it? They wanted to know that they are real.
Yes.
Don't have any doubts about that.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. So what are they? Can we conclude somehow? You know, what are angels? What type of matter are they made of?
I think they're pure energy. There's a different evolution from the human. And they are messengers of God. That's usually what most people say.
Right.
They're messengers. It's like they're stepping down extremely sensitive, subtle energies of God.
Right.
and on down to different levels and make them stronger. They become stronger as they get closer to us.
Right.
They're here to help us.
So they are light beings sent from God, and they might have messages for us, or usually yes. maybe they do have messages
yes.
that we can decide if we want to listen to or not, right?
Yes.
Because of our free will. But then they are completely different beings than we are.
Yes.
So we are from God, but we're
in the matter more.
Yeah, yes we are, but they are of another type of matter.
Yes.
Another type of energy.
Yeah. And we have a choice to follow their direction or not to. When it feels right, and it's an uplifting feeling.
Right.
Then it's right.
Yeah.
It's probably them.
Yeah. That's the conclusion. I have never heard of anybody who has met an angel that made them frightened or anything.
No.
I mean, angels are just always joy or comfort.
Yes.
Help. Protection.
And they think that we are 95 to 100% okay.
How do you mean that? They think we are?
Yeah, they might have said, you know, we think you humans are about 95%. Yeah, there's always a little tweaking that needs to happen here and there, you know. But,
okay.
But they give a sense of it. It's okay. You know, you can get through this.
Yeah.
It's that kind of feeling. If
yeah.
it's one that says, oh, just take out your gun and shoot that guy. Well, no, I don't think that's an angel.
I wouldn't think that either. Yeah, that's something completely different.
Yeah.
Or we all have them. We
yes.
all have angels in our lives,
yes.
whether we know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like most common sense is that we have a birth angel that comes with us when we're born.
Yeah.
And then it's with us all through childhood and helps us and protect us and everything. And then around age 12, when we start to mature and start our journey into adulthood,
yeah.
They take a step back because then we need to start to sort of be self-sufficient.
Yes.
So they wouldn't then intervene into our free will, maybe, and sort of let us start taking our first steps of our own will, our own choice.
Yes. Yeah, following our own souls. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not a sort of a sad moment. It's just sort of a bright moment when we're sort of grown enough to start. They sort of let us go like a little, you know, a little rabbit or something. We can now go on, you know, I'll wait here.
Yeah.
Right.
That's interesting. I wonder why that's why some children, when they go through puberty, all of a sudden started feeling a little bit not quite in place anymore.
Yeah.
That could be part of the reason.
Yeah, they feel they are more on their own.
Yes. Yes.
And more, this is typical the feelings of the teenager, that it's both sad and happy.
Yeah.
And a little fearful. You know, anxiousness.
Yeah, where am I going? Where's my help?
Yeah. Hey, where am I?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Well, that was really fun to speak about angels.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
So
there are lots of books about it too.
Yes, there are. So it's and all these cards, you can get to know them and their names and all. That's very interesting. Okay, let's explore angels more. I mean, you're already doing it, so I should start that.
Okay.
Okay, Mary Phyllis, it was wonderful to talk today.
Likewise.
Yeah. See you soon again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ponderings over tea.
With Mary Phyllis.
And Amelie.